One of the reasons I absolutely love waking up and coming to work in the morning is hearing live music from the live room from great Southern California bands, from great bands from all across the world. This band happens to be from Southern California, Interwave and the Jungle. It's Pablo, Gene, and Eli this morning. New album is Apoptosis, which I definitely want to discuss with them. The reasoning behind that title, I think it's totally cool. As a wordsmith, and if you know what it means, you'd be interested as well. They've got upcoming shows at the El Rey, December 30th, December 31st, and we're going to talk about their North American tour slated for next year. In the meantime, please welcome singing June, Interwave and the Jungle on the Mornings with Ed show.
Keep it. Thank you. All right, we got one more for you. It's our last one. It's called Memory Trees.
Song was Memory Trees. We're going to have the guys come in here for a conversation. Pablo, Gene, and Eli. The new upcoming album, Apoptosis. I definitely want to talk about that. Stick around. 3 minutes away, a conversation with Interwave.
The little kid dresses like Bryce.
Yeah.
10:50 the time, 10 minutes shy of 11 o'clock, an extended version of the Mornings with Ed show. We take it into the midday show. The band Interwave, we thank you so much for a great live performance in the live room. Welcome this morning to Pablo, Gene, and Eli. Welcome, guys.
Thank you
so much.
Good
great
morning.
To be here.
Thank you. Thanks for a great set in there, first of all, early. And again, thanks for this conversation. So the first thing that struck me was the name of the album. It was released in late September called Apoptosis. Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong. It's about a process of damaging DNA.
Yeah, it's basically it's a biology term that when there's certain cells that need to die off so new healthy cells can grow.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm not a scientist, but I feel that already just that term had so much meaning to it. You know, you could interpret it so many different ways.
Right. I'm not a scientist, but I play one on radio. So I kind of dug that. I like the creativity in using that. Tell me about the album and putting the songs together for it.
Well, we started making it during COVID, like at the right in the middle of it. Started in October of last year. And this is after not being able to meet up for a while because due to COVID. So I think we just had a lot of built up creative energy.
Right.
So the songs came together super fast. And we'd meet up and then in about 5 hours, we would have a song, essentially. Yeah.
That's what that pent up energy does.
Yeah.
It blows it out really quickly.
Yeah.
The first song you performed here in studio was June.
Yes.
Tell me what went into the writing of that song. What was the thinking behind June?
I think when we wrote June, we were already kind of knew what the album was going to be right. like. I think in the beginning, we had no idea. We were just sort of jamming.
Right.
But we were playing a lot with acoustic guitar and a lot of other instruments. And the instrumentation just sort of felt like it sort of harkened back to the 70s like era, you know, like either whether it was folk or it was like disco, but just very 70s. And right. we were recording the tape too, which is a first for us. So... Right. I think all of that created that vibe. And I remember just sort of making that riff on the acoustic and the chords.
Right.
But I left it sort of uncooked because I knew that if I brought it to the guys that we would be able to just fill in all the blanks together.
Right.
So that's kind of how it happened. Again, in like 4 hours, sort of just made the whole thing.
Right. I like the term uncooked. I like the use of that term uncooked. And you mentioned it was on tape. Mm-hmm. There's a specific and very special sound to music when you hear it that way, right?
For sure. Yeah. And I always knew that. I didn't have the tech savvy to be able to set up a tape machine. And I felt, you know, the digital was always just so much quicker and efficient.
Right.
But our new keyboardist, his name's Jose Cruz, and he's like a tech genius. So he just bought a tape machine and left it at my house.
Right.
And that's how it started.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think you pay attention more to what you're playing. We would play it as a band live and record it live. So we would do 3 takes and then we thought it was good, but we felt like we could do a better one.
Right.
And that kind of, it pulls something out of you, I think.
It does. Yeah. Anytime somebody leaves something at my house, it's usually on eBay the next day. Yeah, don't leave it in my house, man. Eli, and working before you even did any one of the 3 songs, before we started live music, I was listening to you tickle the guitar a little bit. How long you been playing?
Since I was 9 or 8.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. All right. You started young, man. You started pretty young. First guitar was a piece of crap you found at a garage sale, or was it something you saved your money for?
First guitar came from Mexico.
Okay.
I was on vacation with my family.
Right.
And they're selling them for like $5. Yeah. Dad, I want one.
You got to get one.
Because my brother already had one, my older brother. You know?
Right.
I got my first $5 guitar and I learned Smoke on the Water.
it has to be the first riff classic that everybody learns, man. Right? Yeah.
And then, after that, got the first, what do we have? The Squire Strat.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Pablo and I both had that as our first guitars before we met each other.
Right.
And we started jamming together in 6th grade. Yeah, we had the same blue Squire Strat, ironically.
Right. Always, you know, they're the great Strats, first of all. It's a great beginner guitar or a great guitar anytime. But certainly in sixth grade, I could see where Guitar Center was having the sale,
Yeah.
Right?
So we all got the same.
And Gene, they mentioned, you mentioned, by the way, a new keyboardist, or Pablo mentioned the new keyboardist. You were playing keyboards in here.
Right, yeah.
All right, so so where do you fit in with the new keyboardist?
So back in like 2011,
right.
I just wanted to learn a new instrument, and I felt like it was like an evolution towards the songwriting.
Right.
Because I always played bass. And in bass, you can't really write songs. You know, you're just writing bass lines.
Right.
Or the song already has a bass line, so you just play whatever it is.
Right. Bass player is the foundation to every band, by the way.
Definitely. For sure. Need somebody to follow, right?
There you go. There you go.
So I bought like a, you know, those Casios with like a built-in speaker piano.
Right.
And I just went to town on YouTube and like internet searches and like figured out how to make chords, how to like find all the different scales. And, you know, that's what kind of like evolved the sound of Innerwave back in high school.
Right.
And we just started writing more and more songs that way. And now I play bass live. I'm always playing bass live, but me and the keyboardist now, we switch off a lot.
Okay.
You know, so I'll come up with like a bunch of chords at home and then bring them to the Swamp, which is where we practice.
Okay.
And he'll play bass over my chords. And
excellent.
That's, I think like half of the songs are him playing bass, and then the other half is Pablo playing bass, and I played like one bass line.
So each of you is a multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah.
Right. Very cool, man. Yeah. Very cool. And is that your instrument of preference? So you were on an acoustic just now in there. Is that your instrument of preference?
Yeah, I think electric guitar is what I'm like the best at, you know? And then from there, it'd be bass and drums and keys or what my weakest instrument. I feel like I can make things, but it takes me a long time, and I use two hands all the time, like to do one chord, you know.
Right.
But yeah, we're all multi instrumentalists, so that's also part of the songwriting process, just to not make it feel stale, you know. We switch off a lot, and the new keyboard player is also a multi instrumentalist. He plays guitar and bass and stuff. So.
Yeah, that's the secret. That's the key to creativity, man. Is always being able to do something else. I really dig that you guys do that. Yeah. So tell me about the upcoming shows you have at the El Rey.
So we got two New Year's shows.
Okay, well, New Year's is a bomb, man. That's a great gig to be playing on New Year's.
Yeah, we plan to make it real special. There's a lot of strings and like harp on this album.
Okay.
So we plan to have like a bunch of different just more musicians on stage, you know.
Okay.
And there were some like guests on the album too, so maybe have those musicians on stage as well.
Now, you mentioned harp. I love the sound of a harp in cool music. Do any of you play the harp, or you've invited someone else to do this?
Invited someone else to do it. All right.
We composed like the harp arrangement, but we had to, you know.
Yeah. It's tough to travel around with a big old harp.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're dragging that thing through the airport, man. Yeah, you want to step aside, sir? Let's check your bags. You're starting a tour next year, the 2022 North American tour.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what cities are we looking at that you're hitting? We've got a wide, vast audience across the country. I'd love for them to know you're coming.
It's most major cities. Hard to name them all. I think we got 20-something shows.
Okay.
Pretty much most major cities in the U.S. and Canada as well.
Right.
Hard to name off the top of my head.
That's all right. There'll be a quiz on Friday. Bring a number two pencil and a clean sheet of paper, please.
We got Minneapolis, Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, Toronto, Montreal, Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Washington, Nashville, Memphis, Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, McAllen, El Paso, Santa Fe, Tucson, Phoenix, Denver, Salt Lake City, Seattle, Vancouver, Portland, San Francisco, Felton, Pomona, and San Diego.
That's beautiful. That's and again, we've got listeners in all of those places, so that's going to be really tight if they, in fact, come out and enjoy your show.
Amazing.
Where do we find out about you? Where do our listeners go to find out when and where these shows specifically are?
We have a website, innerwave.xyz, but also on our Instagram, which is at INNRWVE.
Okay.
And you could also, you know, think if you just Google the name, you find the ticket link.
Right. Inner Wave, just Google Inner Wave and the ticket link will come up.
Yep.
Yeah, and great work, Nicole, booking them in different areas of the country. I'm not going to bug you to cut to talk, but booking you in different areas of the country, but you know, not making you go from, for instance, Austin to Toronto and then back to Houston, man. Good job on the flight plan there, Nicole. Outstanding. What the rest of the week? What does a week look like for you guys? Are you constantly in the studio? Are you constantly writing? Are you working on videos to support these songs?
Yeah, I think right after the album's done, we go into, you know, creating the visual side of it. You know, I was lucky enough to be able to direct the videos this time around for for the songs, but right now we're just heavy in rehearsal mode, so getting ready for tour. And I think for us, it's just there's so much that goes into it, so we need like months in advance of rehearsal and stuff.
Yeah. And how many hours a day do you look at? And is it a set schedule where, all right, 4 o'clock every day, or is it
kind of? Yeah, I'd say like
trying to.
Yeah, like 3-4 times a week for like 4 hours. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. And I mentioned a great place to go eat lunch after this and a great place to go. Is there a favorite place to write your songs? Do you have like a spot where you think, this is where I'm the most creative? Or is there a favorite place, a favorite setting?
I don't think we found that place yet.
All right. Right on.
Keep discovering.
I like that. Places. I like that answer, man. Yeah. Right on. Maybe the studio can be a good place. Yeah. A good sense of inspiration, man. We're right off the beach here. All right, the band is Interwave. We've been speaking to Pablo, Gene, and Eli. If you missed any portion of this conversation or their performance, a little bit later on, you go to the KXFM website, you pull down the podcast page, and there it is. I can't thank the three of you enough for being here today. I really enjoyed the performance, and I enjoyed speaking with you this morning. And please, before you head out on tour or before New Year's Eve, keep in touch. Let us know what new stuff you got and how we can help you pull it. How can our listeners purchase your music or swag or whatever where it benefits the band the most?
So I think merch is coming in the next few weeks. Okay. And you can visit innerwave.xyz or merch page.
Excellent.
And, yeah.
Excellent.
And I think also on Spotify, if you go on Spotify, whatever city you're in, on our homepage of Spotify, it'll show up as like, oh, the next show is in Minneapolis on whatever date, you know? Right. And so.
Excellent. All right. Pablo, Gene, Eli, Interwave is the band. The new album is Apoptosis. We got the scientific explanation of what it means. I'm digging it. And I'll look forward to talking to you guys again.
Likewise. This is fun.
Best of luck. Thank you for being here.